I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Perhaps it's been a while since you've turned to the book of 1 Chronicles. We're going to be looking at 1 Chronicles chapter 4, specifically two verses, and we're going to be looking at someone who is of the lineage of the king's tribe of Judah. His name is Jabez. And the title of our message will make a little bit more sense as we go along. The title of our devotion today is The Prayer of Jabez, Message or Mantra. All of you know what a mantra is, originally used within Hinduism and the Buddhism religion. It is a word or a sound that is repeated to aid in one's concentration and is used for the creation of reality in one's life. What you think on, what you meditate on, they say will become a reality. Well, we have a wonderful portion of Scripture inspired by the Lord from a man of great faith. And yet, there are always those that will seek to pervert Scripture. Isn't that true? And yet, we need to be so careful about that. Here, the passage that we're looking at is not a recipe for mantras or a recipe for the prosperity gospel, where God becomes our genie if we will just repeat certain words and phrases over and over and over again, creating our reality. That's not it at all. I'd like to read this well-known prayer from a well-respected man whose name is Jabez. Notice verse 9 of 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I believe we should all be there by now. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Now keep in mind that this is the Lord giving us this information. It's not a man blowing his own horn. It's not a man saying, I'm holier than thou. When the Lord observes certain traits, we can certainly take them as truth and based on reality. Here was a man, I suppose someone could call him a gimper for God. A gimper is someone who goes a little further than is expected or required. And yet he was more honorable than his brethren. He had a pretty tough childbirth because notice what it says. His mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. The Hebrew word Yabetz means he who makes sorrowful. Evidently she had a tough delivery with Jabez. And they didn't have epidurals back then. They didn't have Lamaze classes where you bring pillows to the hospital and focal points and all of this and the breathing and all of this stuff. They toughed it out and she gave birth to him in pain. And therefore his name reflected that term. I suppose that he could have allowed his name to control his entire life. There are some people that allow circumstances to hold them down. And anybody listening to this message, whether here in our tiny chapel or on the internet, you might be facing difficult circumstances and people who really don't give you a chance or don't think you're going to make it. You stay close to the Lord and be an honorable person, like it says here in this verse. Be a gimper for God, love him, serve him in spirit and in truth. And he was a man of prayer. He was a man who did not allow circumstances to keep him from being in touch with God. Tough times come in our lives, And very often prayer goes right out the window, and we allow ourselves to be governed by fears and by what other people say. And it's real easy, isn't it, to get bitter against God when we face tough trials and testings. But are we going to stand out like Jabez and be more honorable than other brethren? Jabez, notice in verse 10, he called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Here was a man who trusted in the Lord. We're just going to take a short time to look at four things in this prayer that ought to be a template to us so that we might be able to be more honorable, not for our glory, but that we might be in a position to be glorifying to the Lord. And the prayer of Jabez contains four requests. The first request that I want you to notice is the request for God's blessing. Are you concerned about God's blessing in your life? Oh, not so that you might be able to receive material things. You see, there are so many that will take beautiful truths of God's word and they will ask amiss that they might consume it upon their lust. In other words, "Lord, I want you to bless me because I need that Lexus. Lord, I want you to bless me because I want to climb up the corporate ladder, because I want to be recognized for my achievements. I want you to bless me." Here we have a desire for blessing. "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me." But let me first of all have you note that Jabez acknowledged that the God of Israel was the God of all blessing, that God was the source of blessing. And he asks God for his grace in his life. Certainly, Jabez would have been thinking in great part to the blessings of the Abrahamic covenant, which was the source of all blessing, as it was given in Genesis chapter 12, a land and a seed and a blessing. So keep in mind that when Jabez is asking for God's blessing, what's he really doing? He's claiming God's promises. He's not just saying, "Lord, I want you to bless me because look how good I am." He's saying, "Lord, I'm looking to you and the promises that you have given to God's people. And yet many never enjoy them because they don't walk close to the Lord." But he asked for God's blessing. And that blessing was founded upon God's promises for his chosen people. He asked for God's blessing. "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me." So that's the first element of Jabez's prayer. "Lord, bless me." But you know, Jabez wanted to be blessed, but he didn't see himself as an end in the whole matter. He said, "I want to be blessed, and as we'll see in the rest of the prayer, I want to be blessed so that I can be a blessing to other people. I want to be a reservoir where others will be able to drink of your promises." So we ask the Lord for God's blessing. Are we, by the way, living in a way and in a place where God can bless us? Remember, his life is summarized. He was an honorable man. He was one that feared God and loved him. And here he says, "I want to be blessed." Then I want you to look also on the second element. He asks not only for God's blessing, but number two, he asks for an expansion of influence. An expansion of influence. He says, "Enlarge my coast." Dear people, he's not just talking about land here. He's talking about influence. He's talking about opportunity to broaden his influence in the community and in the nation. He prays for victory and prosperity in all of his endeavors, and that his life would be marked by increase. Now, how can we pray for an expanse of territory in our lives? Let me give you a few ideas just to get the ball rolling in your mind. Do you pray for your children? You see, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of one's youth. When you say, Lord, enlarge my coast, you could very well say, Lord, I want to impact the coming generation. I want to enlarge the knowledge of you, not only within my mind and influence, but in the lives of my children, so that they might be able to proclaim the unsearchable riches of God's word. And they don't have to be in the ministry to do that. Whatever field or occupation you're in, pray for the enlargement of your coasts through the lives of those that proceed out of your loins, the offspring out of your own body, your children, your grandchildren. Pray for the enlargement of your coasts. Then there's the enlargement of your coasts in this sense, the very process of sanctification. Once we're saved, we know that we continue in the growth process and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the implications of our salvation as we go through life. The Lord wants to enlarge our coast so that the prayer of Paul in the book of Ephesians, you remember in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14 through 19, his prayer for the Ephesian believers was that they might be able to comprehend the height and the depth and the scope of God's love and purpose in their lives. And he prayed for the enlargement, as it were, of their coast in their perception and love. And we ought to pray for the expansion of our coasts in growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ ourselves in our own lives, but then also in our children. And then in the lives of those that we are praying. You know, there are people here on this prayer sheet that have a lot of needs. But how about praying this way? Lord, through these tragedies, through these aches, through these pains, help these individuals to have their coasts enlarged, their perception of you. Your all-sufficiency, Lord, may they find that to be true. Whether or not the trial is removed, the coast can still be enlarged, can't it? Because a lot of it is based on our response to the trial. Not so much whether it's removed or not, but how we allow the Lord to work in our lives. So he prayed, first of all, for God's blessing in his life so he could be a tributary. He prayed for an expansion of influence in the territory of his life. But then, number three, he prayed for the presence of God's hand in his life. The presence of God's hand. Notice he said, and that thine hand might be with me. What a precious, precious thought that the Lord's hand is there. You know, read the 23rd Psalm and how that the Lord is our shepherd and he leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. He guides us. The Lord guides us as a father would take the hand of a little child and guide them through a dark valley or a dark park, a place that would be scary for a little child with all these branches moving around like monster arms, and all these things that little kids get scared of with their vivid imaginations. And yet when daddy's there, or when mommy's there, holding my hand, that makes a big difference. And the Lord says, I will guide you and direct you. And he says, Lord, I want your hand with me. In other words, Jabez is asking for the guidance of God and his strength. Because when the Bible says the Lord's hand, you know what? The Lord's hand, he's got a grip. Have you ever taken somebody's hand in church? Some of you men, and somehow you didn't get it right, and they got you with the four fingers by mistake. And then they crunch, and it's like a vice grip. Then you say, I'm going to get you next Sunday. But you got to get it in there, don't you? Nowadays, they do the high five, right, Malachi? That's what they do. They give the high five, and that way you don't get your fingers crunched. You don't get the malachi crunch. Thine hand speaks of God's strength. You know what I like about God's hand? It's tender. It reaches out in love. It lifts you up. It encourages you. But I'll tell you what, my God is a powerful God. And he can snatch me out of the fire, because that's what he did when I came to Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. He lifted me out of the fire of perdition, and he set my feet on a solid rock, and he saved my soul. And that can be the experience of every single person here in this room. And we have a tender general who knows how to love, and he sometimes knows how to paddle. And it's the same God, and he promises to love us and have a purpose in our lives for all things. But he asks for the presence of the Lord's hand. And you know, I don't know what you're going through right now, but I'll tell you this. Our attitude ought to be this: Lord, I don't have the strength to go through this trial that I'm going through right now. But Lord, if you're with me and you promise to be with me, I know I can go through anything. I know I can go through anything because you're with me. Isn't that true? The Lord promised, Philippians 1:6, he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. So no matter what comes your way, if you'll do the more honorable thing, verse 9, stay close to the Lord. He'll see through the rest. He'll give you that blessing. He'll expand the territory and influence and the needs in your life. He will extend his hand and guide you. But then the fourth element that I want you to notice in this prayer, he not only asks for God's blessing and an expansion of influence and territory, he asks for the presence of God's hand, but number four, he asks for a protection from harm. A protection from harm. And we always do that when we travel and when we go about our responsibilities. We should, shouldn't we? He says here, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me. You know, Jesus taught his disciples that way, to deliver us from the evil one, that request, that we might be protected from harm. And to be very clear with you, we need to be careful who we associate with, where we go, because you know what? When we flirt with the devil and we hang out with the devil's crowd, you know what? The devil's going to be in a position to seek to harm us when we're walking outside of the will of God. But God will bless us and protect us. And that's why in Psalm 91 it says, to keep thee in all thine ways. God wants to protect us, but we need to exercise common sense in how to live and where to go and the decisions that we make. Make sure that we're making the wise decision. Because you know what? When we make decisions in life, not only do we impact us, we impact our kids, and we impact our grandkids. And I want my territory to be enlarged for good. But you know what? There are some people that they enlarge their territory for bad. And we know of genealogies that went the wrong way, right? You know, you think of the genealogy of Jonathan Edwards. It's a great contrast to the genealogy of secular humanist Carl Sagan. So you see, we have to be very careful that we are walking the honorable way for our Lord. So Jabez's goal in his life was to live free from sorrow. And you know, God answered his request. Look at the last phrase. And God granted him that which he requested. When we pray according to God's revealed word, he will answer. He will answer. Isn't it wonderful that we have a kind, loving, benevolent God? And then on top of all of that, we have one another that we can pray for and encourage. And we're interested in enlarging one another's coasts by bearing one another's burdens and encouraging each other. So let's bow our heads together in this moment and pray and ask God's blessing. Father, as we've looked at this wonderful prayer of Jabez, Lord, the first thing that should come to our minds is, have I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? Blessing begins by recognizing the provision of salvation through Jesus Christ. And Lord, thank you for dying on the cross, and thank you for the promise. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. And then, Lord, as your children, we thank you that we can come boldly before your throne of grace and present our needs before you. And Lord, we don't have a mantra here that automatically provides blessing just because we quote the words. Lord, we have a message from God that implores us to seek your face, to seek your blessing, to seek your hand and your protection. So Father, bless even as we go to prayer tonight. And I pray for each one listening to this message, Lord, the Holy Spirit is able to meet each need using the same message and yet applying it in a different way. And how we thank you for that great mystery of the Spirit of God that searches our hearts. Bless us, and Lord, as we meditate upon the needs that we will present in prayer, in Jesus' name I pray, amen.